Will he tip the card?
I know I've said it before, but given the series of events that leads me into your studio today, Michael, I think there is something happening. There's something in the air.
We'll tip the card here.
I'll tip the card this weekend.
Mick Sharkey joins Racing Pulse to preview the big races in Friday Form Focus.
It is that time, Friday Form Focus, where Mick Sharkey declares he'll tip the card. And you know what? The odds are in his favour. He's got three chances. Moonee Valley tonight, Caulfield tomorrow, and we'll even throw in Sydney with the Golden Rose meeting. What a festival of racing we have over the next 24 hours, Sharkey. How are you?
I haven't slept in 2 days, Michael, with all this racing.
Doing the form.
1,500,000 race meetings to do. I've got foals being born. I've got mares getting served. It's all happening in Shark Industries at the moment, / Lenever Park Industries. But what a time to be alive. I'm just running on sheer pluck and adrenaline at the moment.
Well, from the Wednesday meeting at Flemington through until tomorrow night, it is a beautiful time to be a racing fan in this spring carnival. The good horses, the merry-go-round of the jockeys, intriguing, Hugh Bowman getting off, who's riding who, where are these horses going, Caulfield, Moonee Valley. There is so much action, and we are going to bring you all the winners. I can't wait to get my head
into the Moyer. You come alive tonight at this time of year, don't you? You just come alive.
Thank Christ. Christ, we've got racing. We've got a week off of footy. This is what we need. It is the perfect time. And the big question is, what's the weather doing today? It's a bit dreary where we are. We've had some rain overnight. I wonder how much has hit the valley. Marty Simon, the track manager, joins us. Marty, how are you?
Good, Michael. How are you?
Very well indeed. How much rain has hit the valley?
We've had 2.6 overnight, and I just put on 3 mil of irrigation as well, because I did put up a good 3 this morning. So with that 3 mil of applied, it's just hopefully put into that good 4 range. And being to the duty forecaster, we were going to get 10 to 15 is now down to 1 to 5. So this afternoon. So I'd say we'll end up starting on a good 4, and if we don't get any rain throughout the meeting, we'll probably maybe get back to a 3.
People are doing form for wet tracks and thinking it's going to be slow, and we could be on a good 3 by the time the Moyers run. You've got to love Melbourne. So no prediction of rain during the meeting tonight, is that what they are telling you?
No, when I spoke to them about an hour ago, so she said between 1 and 4 o'clock there's a chance of getting 1 to 5 mil. So there's a band of rain going around us now, which is just in the northeast. We've missed all that. And then the next lot, there's another band going through Warrnambool and that now. So that's the rain that she expects we may get this afternoon. But we may miss it as well. So would love to be a weather forecaster.
Well, I tell you what, that's what Sharky's going to become. Because there's no fallout. If you don't tip winners on Friday Form Focus, you get pilloried on social media. If you don't tip the rain, it doesn't matter. We'll just have another crack the next day.
You just say big words like hectopascal and isobars and approaching low fronts and you're all sweet. Marty, are you confident that there's enough juice in the track for it to be on that, you know, perfect racing surface? You've been on a hiding to nothing this week, obviously, with the forecast, but the little bit of water going on this morning, I'm sort of feeling that's a bit of insurance just to make sure it's not too quick?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, the policy is that we have to present a good 4, and as you know, I did put up that good 3 hoping to get all that rain, but with the latest update, I've just made that decision to put on. I'll put it on about 7:30, so it's finished now, so it's got, you know, a good 5 or 6 hours to soak in. So with that, it's just going to take that sting out of the track and just be really nice for the horses. So that's my main reason for putting that 3 mil on, but with that, if we get a bit more rain, it's not going to affect it too much.
Rail true. Leaders come from anywhere. How do you see it on a good deck?
Yeah, I think it'll just race similar to last. I mean, but in saying that, they do say that the pattern does change a little bit for night meetings, but we are starting a bit early, like, you know, 5:15 to first. So starting under the last couple of races, they're going to be under the light. So, expect the race pretty even. If we do get a bit more rain than what they are forecasting and it does chop out a bit, well, then naturally the last couple of races, they'll probably get off the rail a bit. But early in the car, there's no reason for them not to be on the rail, and hopefully can make up some ground from there.
Leave us with a winner tonight, Marty.
I'll do that, because I think Jason just had beginner's luck. I know Liam can't tip, and Tim Bailey's out of action for about 12 weeks. But as you know, we did have some gallops here on Monday morning, and a few went around, so I found one there, and I'm going to tip Hollyfield, race 4, number 2. I think he might get the money tonight, and then that'll get me back up on top of the leaders' board.
In the EJ Witten Stutz Stakes. I love it. Good luck tonight, Marty. Fingers crossed that rain doesn't come.
Yeah, no worries, guys. Thanks for that.
Marty Simon, it's quite remarkable. All week people have been going Armageddon. We could be on a heavy track, a soft track. It's a good 3. There's an opportunity. It could well be a good three by the time the Warrior is run.
They're going to run some quick time tonight,
I think. What? All right, let's get stuck into it because we need to run quick time today to get through all these meetings. We're going to have a look at the Quaddy and the Stud Stakes at the Valley. We'll whip through the entire card at Caulfield, and then we want to focus on the Golden Rose. Stud Stakes, race four tonight. Gee, this looks a good race for Glenn Fittick, doesn't it? Flying Award is out. He goes around tomorrow. We get to see the Derby Fancies, Alcyone and Cherry Tortoni. Glenn Fittick, who's coming out of Open Group 1 company behind Behemoth. Hollyfield, Kieran Maher gave it a huge push with me earlier in the week. And then we're probably out to bigger priced runners. So who are you with in the stud?
I'm with Glenn Fittick in a big way. I think there is not a lot of speed in this race unless I'm looking at something that's, you know, usually a get-back horse that wants to suddenly change tactics. I think Hollyfield leads. Glenn Fittick sits on him. Luke Nolan just stalks Ben Mellum. If Mellum wants to make it a sit sprint, Glenn Fittick will sprint with him. I think Glenn Fittick is the bet of the night. He is a good colt. He's probably been underrated to a degree. He's got Group 1 form from the autumn around good horses. You know, Ole Kirk's going to start, what, second or third favourite in a Golden Rose tomorrow. And this fella was right up there in front of him in the Champagne. Memsey run was great. I'm really backing in some of these better three-year-old colts. I say it most weeks. To be really dominant. And I think Glenn Fittick is probably on the fringe of those real elite colts, particularly around 1400-1600 metres. So he can put his hand up to be a live guineas chance in this race tonight. I think he just wins.
Yeah, I concur. I think he's a really good price. You're getting $3.10.
Well, you're getting the price because of Hollyfield and that aspect of, well, he's going to lead, Sydney form coming down. But yes, he's got Sydney form, but it's not against those good Sydney colts. You know, he beat up on Bazooka and Overlord last time, leading all the way, and like, he did it quite easily, and he carried a weight penalty for his win in the value during the autumn. But I think Glenn Fittick is probably that rung above where Hollyfield's been playing at the moment. Glenn Fittick beating him home comfortably in a Champagne too. There was a 10-length margin between the pair of them. I think the market's got it wrong. I'm backing Glenn Fittick, and I'm confident.
All right. Well, I'm waiting to hear from your Scotchman, who normally chimes in. Glenn Fittick, he'll be on tonight in the Stud Stakes. SMS is 0416 90 50 52. A lot of SMSs coming through, and a lot of them are pinning their hopes on you. Righto, Sharkinator, don't leave us hanging. We need your multi, Sharky. I've had a little nibble on Armoury, like you said, for the Cox Plate. Can the baby Shark please do it and get us winners, more winners, Sharky? So no pressure on you.
I love it. I eat the pressure.
First leg of the Quaddy is the Scarborough Stakes.
Thrive on this.
Let's get this first leg, and I want to get it cheaply tonight. I want to get the Quaddy
cheaply
and not have to outlay a lot of money. So I want you to pick the eyes out. Swatsat was huge down the straight. It's the favourite. Dirty Thoughts is drawn to get a good run again at 3.10, and then we've got the South Australian Maliva, and anything from South Australia at the moment, you've got to put in your Quaddy and Maltese because they are absolutely flying. $3, what's that? Has that got you interested?
Take it. I think she's the best filly in the race. There are some here that are untapped. Horses like Maliva, who's got good speed. She was really well backed at her first start earlier in the year. They gave her a good break. She fell in on that occasion. She came back and looked a stronger horse, I thought, when she was winning in Adelaide the other day. Time wasn't flash on the day, but still, she's a good, tough, improving on speed filly. Raison d'etre, disappointing last time. Money in my pocket will get back and run on. I like the times that she runs closing off from the back of the field. But what's that, I think, is going to find herself in a Group 1 sprint this spring, and I think it might be the Coolmore, and I think it'll be after winning this race. I loved her run in the Capdon Teeve. She looked a little bit big in the yard pre-race. Not fat, but just that the run would bring her on. It was a good effort. I think on top of the ground, she is a much, much more effective horse than when there's some juice in the track. The prospect of a good four, good three tonight. I was prepared to back her to beat September Run regardless. Now that she's out, I'm more than happy to be backing Swat's That.
If she's going to be competitive in a Coolmore, she needs to be winning this.
Oh, she's pretty good. Don't worry about that. There are some nice fillies in this race, but I think she's just a cut above this group.
So, first leg of the Quaddy, who do we put in?
1 and 6.
Just the 1 and the 6, Maliva. Yep. Leaving out Dirty Thoughts. It's unusual for you. Race number six is
dirty
the...
dirty thoughts.
to not have dirty
good
thoughts.
Good Catholic boy.
Speaking of that, I've just got an SMS.
Pure of heart
just got
mind.
An SMS here saying, please ask Michael Felgate to refrain from blasphemy. Other else, I'm turning off. I didn't even realise I blasphemed.
You did use... Christians would consider the use of the word Christ.
The Lord's name
somewhat,
in vain.
Yeah, the Lord's name in vain. Somewhat troubling, but...
Wow, okay.
I said a little
apologies.
Prayer for you after you did that.
Apologies. I can tell you, the last few Saturdays, the Lord certainly hasn't been
on my side.
I was an
RE teacher.
So
I think we've touched on
that before. I'll try anything. You did RE.
I taught RE.
I thought you were a maths teacher or a science
teacher. No. Well, I did that, but I taught RE as well.
You're
2 years of theology.
A religious teacher?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
We're going down a rabbit hole here. We'll discuss this more at another time because we don't have time today, but I'm intrigued by that.
You need to get me on your Tuesdays when I've actually accomplished something.
Father
you need to
Shark.
Get me on your Tuesday long play sort of thing. I can just take you down the rabbit hole of my life to this
Father
point.
Father Shark. I'll tell you where you can expand on this is tonight's coverage because...
Oh, yeah. We've got a lot of time to kill.
Yourself, Gator, Hawley, James Winks, Jack Dickens, the digital coverage, Moonee Valley, Moya Stakes Night tonight. You'll be able to give a sermon.
My good mate Johnny Clark producing as well. He knows the left field areas I can get
absolutely.
To. It could be a bit of odd radio tonight.
Download
if you're interested.
The RSN like app for entertainment and winners tonight from around about 5 o'clock.
All of the above.
The Moya Stakes tonight. All right, the JRA Cup, the Ladbrokes JRA Cup. Al Galil's been in great form, looking for three on end. Plenciel's the second favourite at $6. So $3 a favourite. I thought Mirage Dancer ran really well last start at Caulfield as well. And Quick Thinker, I was thinking would be a huge chance if the rain came. Not so keen on a good track.
Really tricky race. The speed comes out now with Taviran. I'm not sure who leads this race. Maybe Vinda Dance. It was positive after a long break. It's drawn wide. Maybe they roll forward with it. Plenciel has been positive in the past. Inside Gate probably sees it sit handy. After that, boy, we were struggling for some speed. This is... Well, it was tricky beforehand. Now I think it's just becoming a raffle. I thought Miami Bound was great first up at this track. We didn't get much of a guide last time when Gadding came back in her lap and she was checked and just lost her action and all confidence was basically eased out of the race. Whether that run... Danny O'Brien, I think, my opinion is he's the best trainer and conditioner of stayers in the country. No doubt he would have put the extra work in required in between runs. The fact that she basically didn't have a run there last start. She's the class act in this field. In terms of past performances, it's a fair old field. Like there's 1, 2, 3 Derby winners in it and an Oaks winner. So there's a bit of depth here. I think the roughies in the race that you need to include are Vinda Dance, number 9. He was fresh and first start, for this yard, bit of a break. Lost form. I didn't mind the run behind Credence. He went forward, he kicked. Through the line, he was coming again. Don't be surprised if you see a really good run from Vinda Dance tonight. And the other one at a price to include in your quaddie is number 12, Royal Crown. No luck at all in a midweek race at Sandown when he carried 62. He was doing his best work late. Previously, we've known him as a horse that has been able to get out to 2,400 metres. He looks to be not sharper, but, he just looks a bit more nimble this time around. That was a good run at 16. Jamie Carr could fair dinkum ride a rocking horse and win at the moment. She's the informed jockey in Victoria. Very, very soft run expected from gate number 4.
So, I thought Al Galil would be very, very hard to beat here. You going around the favourite?
Oh, it's going in the quaddie. I just think that this is an open race. I'm not convinced that Al Galil's any sort of standout. He's racing as well as he can. I don't know if he's ever won a stakes race. He's been going around for a few seasons now.
Right,
I'll stand to be corrected on that. But look, he gets his best possible chance to win one tonight.
What numbers do we put in the quaddie?
I'm just looking at his form. You know what? He's never run in a stakes race. Oh, no, sorry. He ran in a Hobart Cup once.
Yeah.
Anyway,
look, to be fair, I don't think it's the strongest JRA Cup.
No, it's not, but there are 4 Group 1 winners in it. Like, it's
in days gone by.
Yeah, but they've still got they've been there and done it. Old mate hasn't, Al Galil. Numbers for the quaddie, 1, 5, 6, 9 and 12.
1, 5, 6, 9 and 12. So the 1, Mirage Dancer, the 5, Algalale, the 6, Miami Bound 9, which is Vinda Dance, and 12, Royal Crown at $13 and $16 for Vinda Dance. Third leg of the quad is the feature of the night. It is the Charterkeck Kramer Moyer Stakes. Unfortunately, we lost away again with that elevated temperature. Tiana Robinson would be very happy that the rain has stayed away. Spoke to her the other day, and that was her only concern.
We don't get a whole lot of rain in Perth, and she's done most of her racing over the summer where you have those sprint races, so she hasn't really seen it. The day that she got the feeder on the soft track, I don't think that that was the track that sort of played a part. She had a few other excuses, so I think we'd be pretty comfortable if it was in that soft five range, but there's obviously a question mark if we get more than that, but we can't control it, and we'll find out more tomorrow. She's travelled and she's settled in and she's really happy and she's regained the weight she's lost in the travel, which is excellent to see. I really can't fault her preparation leading into this.
Well, she'd be giggling to think of a good 4, good 3 for Fabergino. This is such a fascinating race because of the speed. Fabergino flies. Pippi, we know, flies. Bellavella's drawn 1. Diamond Effort has speed. Jungle Edge from 9 goes forward. Haydock from 10. Give us your speed map, Shark.
I don't think they'll be leading Pippi, but I think they'll be going really quickly. Fabergino, Bella Nipotina, both kicking up, going forward. Then you've got Jungle Edge, who is still going to run, I assume. I wonder if they may scratch him. I don't think they can they, technically?
Who?
Jungle Edge. Can they?
If
they
make it's green? After scratching time now.
Yeah, but isn't there... Didn't David Payne do something like that recently? Anyway, we haven't got time to discuss that. Ashlaw will go forward. There's going to be a lot of pressure on here. I want to try Hanseatic again. I thought his run in the McEwen was superb.
Getting $11 now, Hanseatic.
It's a crazy price, Hanseatic. Again, one of these good colts from the autumn. Great run in the McEwen. It was super. He sort of had to drift back from the gate after others were burning up early. He loomed into the race as they started to turn with purpose. And then the nature of the horses that were inside him, as they started to either drift out to make their runs or tire, he got shunted further and further and further into that corner to the point where he was almost bumped off the point of the turn by Brooklyn Hustle. He's balanced up late and he was finishing very, very well that last 50 metres. I think from 7, Jai McNeil is going to be able to be just off midfield, off that strong tempo and finishing late at the odds. I'm going to try him each way here. Probably a 2x3 each way bet in this race.
Where's he land? Does he get a nice run in behind the speed, do you think?
Just off midfield, I reckon. And that's probably okay. As long as the track is playing fairly, if this track's a good 3 and it's a leader's paradise because they're running time and can't be caught, well, Hanseatic probably can't win.
Is that going to make it more difficult for a Brooklyn Hustle of 100%. A 3-4?
Yeah, well, it depends on how the track's playing. Marty has shown in recent times that a good 3, good 4 track at Moonee Valley doesn't necessarily mean leaders just jump and win. You know, the Moonee Valley has played really well, apart from that meeting where it was a heavy 4,000 and it was just get on the lead and you can't be caught. So I want, by this stage of the night, we'll know how the deck is. If it is fair, I'm more than happy to try Hanseatic each way.
Do you now put a question mark next to Diamond Effort because we're not going to get the rain? Jungle Edge almost.
I just don't
think
Diamond Effort's
a line through.
A Group 1 horse.
Bella Vella, I know she won a Group 1. She was really good last start. I'm surprised that she's, you know, second favourite. Will Clarkin has her flying. He's concerned about Barrier 1.
100%. It's the worst map ever for Bella Vella because she's going to be crossed early. She can't get off the fence. On my map, there's speed everywhere. Something's got to come back and sit outside her. If she gets pocketed, she's reliant on horses like Pippi, Fabergino, etc., wandering about a little on the corner, so there's a gap there. I think it's a horrible draw for Bella Vella.
What about Fabergino? What about the flying machine from WA?
She's fast enough. I don't mind. She in the past, in Perth, she's been able to sit on a strong leader and then peel off it and run it down. So the prospect of chasing a leader like Pippi, I don't think, is a big issue for Peter Nucky and Fabergino. Is she a Group 1 horse? Find out tonight, won't we?
Well, okay. And you haven't said anything about Haydock. 3-time Group 1 winner. Can he win over 1,000 first time?
If Haydock wins, I won't be winning.
All right, I thought you were going to say something
Like shaving my head. Well, no, I'm not, my name's not Zarafa.
You wussed out with Behemoth when you declared he couldn't win last week.
I paid my bets. Don't worry about that. I didn't make one. I wasn't silly enough to make one second time around.
All right. So you are on
Hanseatic.
Hanseatic at $11 each way in the Moya. Quarting numbers?
Probably wider than I need to be in this league at the moment, but it's I'm half having a bet each way based on the track. One trekking, six Bella Vella, seven Pippi, nine Fabergino, 11 Hanseatic.
Okay.
The thought with including Bella Vella at this point of the game is if the rails are off, well, the leaders won't want to be on the rails, will they? So there may be some room and some flexibility for Jamie Carr, but if the rails are on, she's going to be in a really tricky spot. We don't know. Watch how the track's playing. Adjust as required.
Okay. SMS is Pippi will run them ragged. That's from Frankie.
Go on, you, Frankie.
One here. Boys, dominant effort will stalk the speed.
Yeah.
And then pounce. Bella Vella is no chance. Only danger is trekking. So there's a confident SMS there. What's this one here? I thought you would learn last week with taking... with Tagaloa, that the three-year-olds are just average this year. Hanseatic is no chance. That's from Hariba.
Thanks, Hariba. Who do you like?
I thought Tagaloa.
Diamond Effort, who beat Lye last start.
I thought Tagaloa still ran well last week.
Tagaloa was great.
And then this SMS is one that I think is quite amusing. Can you get off Jared? This is Kane's show. I think someone's confused with what station they're listening to.
Oh,
are you Jared or Kane? I'm not too sure.
I haven't got their bank balances.
Anyway, now the last race is the Stock Stakes. Gee, this is a good Stock Stakes. Perfect Jewel, $2.40. The money's come. Mystic Journey, how is she going? That's a question mark. She ran fourth in a Cox Plate at $5.50. Then we're out to Graceful Glamour and Princess Jenny at $8. Earlier in the week, I was thinking 250, maybe if we get out to 260, 70, Perfect Jewel's a good bet. She's getting in tight now at 240.
I'll tell you somebody that would have been absolutely flipping cartwheels and somersaults and everything else at the news that this track is probably going to race in the good range tonight. Mark Newnham. Graceful Glamour, if you spit on the ground, she loses lengths. On a good track, she's a very, very good mare. I thought her run, fresh in the tramway, was very good. Colding's come out of that race and won. She's been to the Valley once before. Now, refresh my memory, Michael. I think when she ran at the Valley last start, she might have flogged Ocean X by about six or seven lengths.
Well,
I think you look that up while
Valley,
I wax lyrical about it.
She beat Ocean X by six lengths.
There you go.
That was...
I'm like the elephant. I never forget.
That was this meeting last year.
She will be very hard to catch here. There is not a lot of pressure in this race. I think she'll lead. Jamie Carr can lead. Probably Spanish Reef, who was just a bit awkward away first up. She's making a bit of a habit of that, fresh in her preparations as she gets older, Spanish Reef. And Aristia is probably the other one that'll sit forward. I don't see any other speed. Jamie Carr can control the race. She is lethal at the moment. At the odds, I'm not sure what price she is at the moment.
$6.
$6?
Yeah, there's no spoil.
That is a bet each way all day and all night. And you know what? Yeah, how you can play this race, because Perfect Jewel's obviously the in-form horse coming through weight for age. You can go and have a good crack now at Graceful Glamour. And if the track is a leaderish track, she'll firm in. If it's not, she'll probably hang around that $6 mark. And you can save on Perfect Jewel later in the evening.
So you're getting $6, $2. So each way, you are guaranteeing the listeners, you've got the insurance of the place. $6, $2, Graceful Glamour, last race tonight.
I can't see her missing a place. I really can't. There's no pressure on her. Where's the pressure? There is none. I'm answering my own questions now. This has become a one-way conversation radio show. It's the Mick Sharkey hour with Mick Sharkey.
I'm trying to find any dangers for
you. No, you're not. I know what you're doing right now. You're trying to back her. That's what you're doing. I can see your fingers moving around on your phone there. Lie to the listeners.
I'm not as confident as you, because I think Perfect Jewel's a Group 1 performer.
Yes, she is.
If the rain had come, she would have been an absolute moral. Now, it's going to be on a good track. Mystic Journey, I'm a head scratcher. What do we do with Mystic Journey? Do you pot her? Do you put her in your Courtiers insurance?
I think you put her in as insurance because at her best, she's good enough to win a Group 2 against the mares, right? I think we've established that she may well win a Group 1, but it may be against the girls in time. She's had plenty of chances of late. I'm putting her in the quaddie because if she does win, I'll give myself an uppercut.
All right, quaddie numbers.
1, 3, 6.
1, 3, and 6. So Mystic Journey, Perfect Jewel, Graceful Glanner. I think Aristia run a big race tonight too. She's ready.
Yeah, more than capable.
Damien is here. I am here. The Glenn Fiddick man is the perfect omen bet I'll be getting on tonight. Keep the SMSs coming. They're flooding through. We'll get to as many as we can.
What's your favourite Glenn Fiddick, Damien? I like the Solera myself.
All right, Damien will reply. We need to back the truck up on Graceful Glamour. That's an SMS.
Who's that from?
Mark? SOK.
Mark from Sydney?
Sock. So it's a back the truck up.
Well, I don't know about that. I just think
she's wavering.
No, Glenn Fiddick, you can back the truck
After a couple of Glenn Fiddicks tonight, you'll be backing the truck up.
I'll be launching. Don't worry about that.
In the last. Quick break on the other side. Underwood Stakes Day at Caulfield.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
You are listening to Friday Form Focus with the Shark, and we are up to looking at the Group 1 Underwood Stakes meeting at Caulfield tomorrow. I wonder if they've missed the rain, like Moonee Valley has. Jason Kerr's the track manager. Jace, how are you this morning?
Very well, thanks, Michael.
What's the track rated? Have you had much rain in the last 24 hours?
No, I've only had 5.7 mils for the 24 hours, so it's certainly a bit lighter than some areas. But no, we've been waiting on it. We've held off a little bit in the latter half of the week, so to get that was nice. We'll probably get a little bit more today and tomorrow, but the track's currently a good four and in pretty good shape.
Is that what you anticipate it'll be tomorrow? It'll be a good four, perfect racing surface?
Oh, I think if the forecast as again this afternoon and for the morning, so I think if we get anywhere between 3 and 4 mil, it'll stay in the good four range, and over and above that, it might just sort of flip out to a five. But certainly, once the rain stops, will improve pretty quickly. And as I say, it needed some irrigation or some rain. Sort of yesterday, we got some, and it's held it in good stead. But certainly, I wouldn't be working on anything sort of softer than a five at this stage.
All right, well, we will touch base with you tomorrow morning to get the up-to-date last-minute track report and throughout the day as well. But leave us with your tip. A little bit of a drive-by by Marty Sinan, who doesn't believe you can live up to the early reputation that you were able to provide the listeners with a couple of winners. So who are you on tomorrow?
Yeah, well, I could see you. I won a couple of early trials last year. Didn't produce race day, so they're all out. I'll stick with the ex-king of Caulfield, Peter Moody, and Simply Invincible tomorrow. So nice one here first up, and had a look at Caulfield, and down in the weights drawn well, so he'll do me for tomorrow. PG Moody, Simply Invincible.
Simply Invincible, a bit of price with the old good mate PG Moody. All right, mate, we will speak to you tomorrow. Best of luck.
All right, thanks, Michael.
All right, Sharky, we've got to get our skates on here. I want to focus on the Underwood. We'll start with the Group 1 feature. It is the Highland Colours Underwood Stakes, and we get to see the X Factor back in action again, Russian Camelot. Spoke to Danny O'Brien during the week. This is what he had to say.
He came through very well. Yeah, he didn't have a tough run. It was a very slowly run race, and it was really a mild barrier trial. So he it was a good lift-off point for him. Had a quiet week, post it, and galloped on the course proper at Flemington yesterday, and he couldn't be in better shape for Saturday.
He's into $1.95 now, Sharky. I'm interested in Arcadia Queen too. She was a really good run last start at Caulfield. She's $4.60, Mr. Quickie $7.50, and then it's double figure odds the rest. Are you happy to jump in $1.95?
God,
no. Odds on?
No! No! This is a hype price. This is, he'll go through every race unbeaten. Oh, I can't see him getting beaten. Come on.
Is that your Matt Stewart impersonation?
No, that's an everyone impersonation in racing that's been talking about this horse like it's Farlap for the last couple of weeks. He may well win.
You're not a fan of Russian Camelot.
No, I don't like getting caught up in the hype. That's what I don't like doing, because the hype clouds your judgment, and often it precludes you from backing very, very juicily priced winners. I don't know if juicily is a word.
Hey, you were
Once
an English
again,
teacher, weren't you?
Or, I haven't slept.
You didn't teach English.
No, I didn't.
Juicily might have been in the Ten Commandments.
It may well have been. I'm pretty sure Moses dropped Juicily somewhere around commandment number 8. Look, it doesn't matter. I'm inventing words. There's no value in this horse at $1.95. There's not. You're taking a price based on what he could be rather than what he is. And what he is a work in progress, a very talented work in progress, but one that is prone to sometimes going bananas behind the gates, sometimes going bananas in the gates, sometimes pulling his head off in the run. Do I want to be taking $1.95 about a horse that is still not perfect and not polished in a Group 1 weight for age race? The answer to that question is no.
He's drawn 9 of 10. We've got Galo Shop, we've got Trap for Fools, but, you know, they're resuming. Almost.
Where is the speed?
That's what I'm going to ask you.
Zero
speed. How much
speed
is there going to be?
I don't know. I've got Galo Shop maybe leading, but first up they were, you know, first up from a fair break to the Autumn, and before that he sort of had a, you know, few injury troubles along the way, hasn't he, Galo Shop? They haven't really bustled him out of the gates first up his last couple of preps. Second up, he has been able to go forward. I'm banking on him leading. I don't think Dean Yender will be out to break the speed of sound. When he leads, there's no pressure on him. Maybe Trap for Fools. Apart from that, they all like racing in a similar sort of pattern. Lobbing, cruising along.
So does he go forward, Ollie?
Well, from 9, he's got that option, doesn't he? The horse may well take him there, as it did in the Maccabi Diva when he basically pulled himself into the race. I think the instructions will be to let the horse settle and finish off, because that's probably what he needs to do going forward to become, well, to fulfil his potential. So I think that'll probably be plan A. If he doesn't settle, well, yeah, him, and they're walking, he may well slide around them as he did in the Maccabi Diva. He is not locked in as the winner here. He's capable of winning. He's capable of winning really well. But
so do you back
he's not a one out.
Do you back the Queen then? She's drawn to get a soft run. Is she back? She's had her own issues.
I think she's always been here, hasn't she? Like the first up run again, it was all the anticipation outwards in. Oh, Arcadia Queen first up, she should just win. Grant Williams, all he said was the horse hasn't had a jump out, hasn't had a trial. We've been here for a month. She's got a, you know, they were building into this preparation. That was always the plan. We saw that in the Let's Elope. She was perfectly fine in the Lawrence. Any talk of a disappointing run is absolute lunacy. She was great through the line in the Let's Elope. We know she had a hoof abscess before that. We know her feet aren't the best. But assuming that she turns up in 100% health, I think she is a very, very dangerous horse for Russian Camelot here. The most impressive winner in this field of recent times was the Chosen One. He blew them apart in that open handicap. He's a horse that's performed really well to, you know, Group 2 standard, second in a Sydney Cup. I know that was Group 1, but generally speaking, Group 2 2,400 metre races has been his thing in the last couple of seasons. He looked a different horse in that race. He carved them up with 61.5. He is a live knockout chance in this race. Murray Baker's won it recently with Bonneval. Bonneval won a few years ago, didn't she?
I think he's won a few Underwoods, didn't he? Mongolian Khan win a Underwood going through. I will look that up while you pontificate.
Yes.
Is he a... Is he like he's $34 for a Caulfield Cup? Is that where he's heading after now?
Well,
if you think he can beat Russian Camelot at weight for age today,
I'd love to know where they're going with him. This is a race that can throw up an upset. Blackheart Bart won at 100-1 last year. Before that, well, Holmeson wasn't an upset, but he beat the favourite. You've got to go back to Blackheart Bart in 2016 to find the last favourite to win this race at 220. Mourinho won it at $18. Foreteller won it at a price, little, you know, each way price. It's a Done Deal won at 750. Boy, wouldn't you have liked to have got on there at 750 for that horse? But yeah, you can get a little upset in this race. Lion Tamer at $16. You know, it's a race where you can turn a favourite over.
So you're potting Russian Camelot.
I'm not potting him. I said there's no value at the price. None at all.
All right. What about...
Rubicent won it at $41. I reckon Dad got the quaddie that year. Dad, text me. You'll be listening on the way home from court. Just text me. Let me know.
All aboard the Queen.
Well, don't. Not while you're driving, of course.
SMSs.
That'll get you in trouble.
All aboard the Queen. Toot, toot. Once again, Shark is potting Camelot. I say it every week.
What do you mean, once again?
Get stuffed, Shark. It's the best horse in Australia. That's from John in Shepparton.
Hey, John, you might be right, but is he a $1.95 chance in an Underwood? Text me back an answer, John.
Shark, don't get caught up in the hype.
That's right. I'm not.
That's another SMS coming through. You called Avilius a beast. And you're getting a touch ahead of yourself with Surprise Baby.
Avilius was a beast.
From Taylor's Lakes. Little backhander there.
Hang on. When I was calling Avilius a beast, he won about five in a row. So fair assessment there, I would have thought at the time.
Hey, gents, Russian Camelot will give them windburn. Don't ignore the obvious, Sharky. That's from Mark. All right.
Mark, are you a first-time listener? I ignore the obvious every single week. That's why, you know, it gives you fodder for a Monday or all weekend. It gives you lovely listeners just the opportunity to just slap me up on Twitter.
There's another one here. Shark is bang on the money as per usual. Odds on, look on.
Thanks, Mum.
And there's another disconcerting text message which has just come through, which says, "G'day, Shark and Gareth. I've backed Sosie Buck at 50-1. That's from Mick. I'll ask Gareth.
I love your work, Mick.
Thoughts in the next show. Give us your quoddy numbers in the Underwood.
Oh yeah.
We'll go back and get your quoddy numbers. But
okay, you want to get back?
Tipping Arcadia Queen.
I'm with Arcadia Queen.
All right, at $4.80. All right, let's whip through the undercard because I want to give your selections in every race to the listeners. Race number one, How Womantic in a Different Life. You worked with the team that brought us How Womantic. Is it a moral in the first tomorrow? Is that a bank builder?
No,
for us?
I don't think it's a moral. She's got a tricky draw. The speed, I think, is sort of that. Be My Star, Kalkani Royale, How Romantic. If she leads, I think they can run her down. She needs to take a sit. When this horse has led, she waits for her opposition. When she's been able to take a sit, she's been dynamic, and she really has finished her races off. She's a better chaser than she is a leader. Tricky scenario for Lachie Neindorf in that first 200 metres. Does he push on and lead, or does he look to slot in? He may get caught three wide from nine.
All right.
It's not... I find it hard to get super confident about anything around her, but at the same time, I'm a little reluctant in the first race of a big weekend, second day of a big weekend. If I'm in front from Friday night, I might have something on her. Otherwise, I might just sit on my hands.
All right, she's too...
Danger is Kalkani Royale.
Yeah, and I think Be My Star is a good price at 850.
Yeah,
barrier one
in the race, definitely.
Race number two, Grand De Flora is a favourite for Danny O'Brien. This looks a tough open race. Who do you like here?
There's a horse here that I was a little bit late to the party on trying to purchase from Europe a couple of years ago called Not Mine. He had really good French form out to, say, 2,100 metres. Nice prospect. He got sold to Hong Kong. They tried him around the mile. He was okay without... I followed him over there, and I don't think the horse ever really settled in. He wasn't beaten far in any of his races, but he probably didn't go to that level that the team would have hoped up there. Comes back to Australia. Same connections as Redkirk Warrior. Same stable as Redkirk Warrior. Loved his jump out. $21. I'll find out.
All right. Not Mine, each way in the second. Race number three, Sharky. G. LaBelle was impressive. 225. Does it do that second up in Australia?
Yeah, there's more to come from this horse. He's a horse we sort of thought would improve into this season. He's doing that. He gets a very similar run. Lord Boozeron leads underneath him. You've got another leader there who I'm just not seeing at the moment. No effort from an inside gate, but he probably gets a stone cold sit on them again, LaBelle. He's better than a benchmark 84. I think he can win. I think Skyman will bounce back. He's the horse to play in the exacta.
3 and 7 in race number three. Alpha Oro. It's running tonight.
Running tonight.
So it'll be out. Brooklyn Hustle, it's running tonight. Yeah. So this market will get turned on its head. Order of Command, Runson.
Is he in Order of Command or out?
Earlier in the week, Danny was saying that he's probably not going to run. But I think if Alpha Oro and Brooklyn Hustle are scratched, you know, he may well be the favourite. So give us a number just for posterity. Race four.
Brave Song, but I don't want to bet in the race. It's horrible.
All right. Race number five, as we whip through. This is one of the highlights of the day. Windstorm v Buffalo River. Windstorm 230. Buffalo River, who would have gone around one of the favourites in the Rupert Clark last week, 320.
and he's in from 480 Buffalo River, and I'm taking that market confidence to heart here, because on his jump outs, you would suggest that the horse isn't going as well as he can, but you go back and you watch his jump outs before his first up run last preparation, and he was a little bit plain there too. Maybe this is just a horse that saves his best for race day, because on the training track, or trial track, whatever you want to call it, gee, he doesn't exactly blow you away. I'm taking confidence in that market support. I think this will be a strong run race on a potentially a good track at Caulfield. Often suits those in front. I'm with Buffalo River. Windstorm, if they overdo it, if the likes of Alsvin and Morrissey make it hard for Buffalo River and they just go that fraction quicker than what they need to, Windstorm will finish over the top.
All right, Buffalo River, 320.
You can bet and save there.
First leg of the quaddie is the Ned's Caulfield Guineas Prelude for the Colts. Flying Award, I'm surprised that they didn't go to the Valley. They've taken Flying Award to Caulfield tomorrow. He's a $5 favourite. Camborne, I know he's been impressive. Geez, tight in all the markets for the Guineas after those two provincial wins. He's $5.50. Prague, $6.50, and then round to Crosshaven at $8. Who are you with? And give me quaddie numbers.
I think they scratched tonight with Flying Award, worried about that inside barrier in the small field and the lack of pace. I may be wrong, but that's what I'm reading into it. It looks a better scenario for the horse. On Saturday, another look at Caulfield. 1,400 metres, I think, is a good step forward. Barrier 10, he gets room to move. He is the best horse in the race. I'm with him.
1,400, he's going to get back. Is there going to be much speed?
Speed is even. Mm. Even. I don't think that really matters, though, because he's got the closing speed and he's got a really explosive turn of foot. That's what a lot of these three-year-olds don't have. They've got class, but they don't have that real power finish, which Flying Award does have. It may well be the run to top him off into a Guineas, and he might be beaten here. It's not the end of the world if he is. I think he's the best horse in this race by some margin. Terry Tortoni's already looking like a Derby horse
My eye. Cherry's going tonight? Oh, we should scratch. I'm getting confused. Hang on, let me have
Cherry Tortoni is in tonight. Sorry.
Yeah.
But it's looking like a Derby horse already.
You won't see Cherry or Alcione in this race tomorrow. Give us your quaddie numbers.
Quaddie numbers, I'll take 4. And you know what? I'll take a couple of these emerging horses. 9 Savannah Cloud, yeah. 10 Camborne. That's it.
Okay. No Crosshaven. Dino thought he'd run well this morning.
Yeah, he'll run well. Yeah, I just think Flying Award's better than these.
All right. What about the fillies? Interested in how Instant Celebrity will measure up. She's a favourite, 3.10. Night Rage's done nothing wrong. Your girl, who you're in love with, Personal, and Mozzie Monster on the backup.
I think Personal really improved. The market tells you that as well. What, she'd been $8 into $6 already, and it's, you know, we're still a day out from the race. I think that support will continue. She gets a nice run midfield. I think she's a really strong each-way chance here. But again, I'm not shattered if she's beaten. I think she's there to peak on 1,000 Guineas Day. She's the top pick. Instant Celebrity's probably got the bit of the power at the 1,400 metres. Bit like Flying Award. She's got that burst of speed at the end of her races. She was great first up in Adelaide, running down a entirely competent leader who was running time and put a margin on the rest of the field. It was a super win. You'd almost say she's bred perfectly for 1,400 metres. She'll be very dynamic at this trip. Her mum failed in 1,000 Guineas and was kept to 12 and 14 after that. Not a single doubt. You can get a horse that can stretch a little bit, but I think 1,400 metres probably suits her really well, Instant Celebrity. Whether she wins this or not, I'm inclined to just risk her a little bit in 1,000 Guineas.
Yeah, her racing style, she's gonna have to be good, isn't she?
People look at those get-back run on horses and just say, oh, well, she'll automatically get more ground. It's not always the case.
6 Personal, quaddy numbers?
4 definitely goes in, Instant Celebrity. 5 Night Raid gets the softest run of all time here. It's almost an Order of the Garter-esque run. She's just going to lob in the first 4 or 5, cruise along, one off the fence. She gets her chance to win a race like this too. She's, you know, I think those three are the most likely trio to win this race.
No
4,
Mozzie?
5 and 6. No Mozzie.
Okay.
She was good last time at first prep. We're getting deep into it now.
You're with Arcadia Queen to win the Underwood, Potting Russian Camelot. Does he go in your quaddie?
2 Humidor goes in, sure. 7 The Chosen One, 9 Arcadia Queen, 10 Russian Camelot.
Right, and then the last race of the day is the Evergreen Turf. handicap, a horse that you've been following, and I think you declared it your early Caulfield Cup tip non-conformist.
No, we're off
wanting
now.
To win this.
No, well, we're off it. He's had a setback. I'd be shocked if he won a Caulfield Cup after that setback.
And Juniper, they both drew.
You can't have a setback, Michael.
No, they've both drawn awkwardly. And then Inverloch was Dino's Ramaruffi. So
yep,
give us Inverloch your numbers in the last.
Inverloch definitely goes in. Odeon goes in, Nonconformist goes in, Juniper goes in.
4-7, Nonconformist 8-9 in the last race.
I'm probably being overly generous with Odeon, but we'll throw him in there at this point.
Good push from Simon Zari in a week. Who's your on-top selection in the last?
In the last, Juniper.
Juniper at $3.80. All right, quick break. We'll come back. Look at the Golden Rose.
Another meeting.
If we've got it.
This is huge. We're all weekend.
Well, I know. We're running so late.
Don't worry about that. Just we'll roll into the Friday show.
So many SMSs are coming as well. I'll try to get to them afterwards.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Polls and Friday Form Focus.
Welcome back to Friday Form Focus. So many SMSs coming through here. Hype is rampant in Australia. Good on you, Shark. If this is a clown edition, then Shark is ready to go. Why are we waiting for him to tip the card? He'll never get close. I agree with Sharky about the hype.
I love that people genuinely expect me to tip the card one
day. Hey, well, you're the one that's proclaiming it. But
it'll happen.
Arcadia Queen is anywhere near her best. That's from Rod in Strathmore. He doesn't think that she'll be there. Earning your dough today, Sharky. Mr. Quickie was huge first up.
Do I get paid for this?
Beat Matt Stewart's hype horse. What about Amish Boy?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a quick answer. Another one saying, of course, he'll be tipping personal. He's in love with it.
I am.
All right, let's get your selections in the Golden Rose.
Don't be ashamed about who you love. Just go for it. I love personal.
You get personal a little too often, unfortunately. Now, tomorrow in Sydney, I think it's into $1.95, Rothfire. If it was trained by Chris Waller, it'd be $1.60, wouldn't it?
Would it, though? It's a strong race.
Gee, he was explosive last start.
He was, yeah.
North Pacific is a good horse. Peltz is a good horse. Ole Kirk's looking for further. I think... how does he get beaten, Shark?
He probably wins, doesn't he? I think the value in the race is King's Legacy. That would be my say. Rothfire should win, shouldn't he? He's high speed, turn of foot. He's already a Group 1 winner at 1,400 metres and a very, very smart one in that. Yeah. I think he should probably.
Does he cross and sit outside the leader, Jim Byrne, from 8?
I think he does from that gate. I think he probably has to be up there outside Pelter and just take luck out of it. Again, the rest of them like to just balance up and finish their races off, whereas Rothfire's got that gate speed early. I think that's probably what he does. He just goes and sits there, takes luck out of the equation, stalks them, probably explodes away. Yardstick's the other one that'll probably go forward as well from 7, and he's underneath him. So you get a little cart across there.
Any of these horses competitive in a Caulfield Guineas? Ole Kirk's been well back.
Is it going there?
Well, yeah. Wayne Hawks has declared with Gareth that he is going there.
Okay.
Next start,
Caulfield Guineas. Well, he'll be competitive. Confetitive. That's confetti. Oh, anyway, sorry. King's Legacy, is he going there?
Not sure. He's well up in the market.
Got a little theory about King's Legacy if he goes to the Caulfield Guineas. I could see him running top three in a Caulfield Guineas. And then, surely, with the pedigree and what he's achieved so far as a dual two-year-old Group 1 winner, if he was to place in a Caulfield Guineas, that gives you the confidence to push on to a Cox Plate. In which I think three-year-olds could run very well this year.
Would he beat Mwunga?
Well, what's Mwunga doing?
Going to the Caulfield Guineas.
Well, he's got to win it first.
That's what I'm saying. Would King's Legacy beat Mwunga in a Caulfield Guineas?
One seasoned, one still very raw and new. And I think he's in his first prep, isn't he, Mwunga?
I like this SMS here. Who's the best odds on Pop Boys? Rothfire?
Oh, my God.
Or the Camelot?
Probably Rothfire.
Rhino in Deniliquin. And also...
I'd probably go Rothfire.
Because we
Rhino.
Like these little Maltese. Do we
in Denny, the home of the Ute Muster.
Yeah.
Have you ever been?
No. I have been to Deniliquin, not when the Ute Muster was on. Mask Crusader.
You'd be more a BNS ball man, wouldn't you?
Back in the day. Hey, $1.90 Mask Crusader in the last. Is that where we can get a little bit of juice?
He gets a lot of favours in the run tomorrow, and it's big boy pants day for Masked Crusader. We know he's very talented. He hasn't had a lot of luck in his two runs back, but I don't think luck will be an issue tomorrow. He needs to blow that field apart if he's a group horse.
Well, he should. And Hortbrion here, who was unbelievable.
Super win.
Does she back great up story and do it again? $2.40 in the Golden
Gary
Pendant.
Johnson. I think she does.
So she's good price there. Sharky, I can't believe we've got two meetings and also gone
only a minute
through
over
the Golden Rose. Give us your best anywhere in Australia. There's an SMS saying here, are they racing at Kilcoy today?
They're not at Kilcoy, but I like Graham Pope in the first at Benalla, and I like a horse at Scone called Depth That Varies in race. I think it's in race 5. I actually bred that horse.
Scone, race 5. Number
with
2.
With Three Bridges?
Depth That Varies. There you go.
I 350. Think we did.
And your Friday fill-up today at Benalla is in race 1?
Race 1, Grand Pope.
Nick Ryan.
Really nice horse.
First up.
Yep.
All right.
Didn't know a lot about it last time around.
We're due for a change of luck on the Friday.
I'm backing Glenfiddich tonight. I'm backing Swatsat tonight. I'm backing Graceful Glamour tonight. And either I'll be completely cast and out of bullets and I'll be gardening tomorrow, or I'll be launching into Le Bowl, Rothfire.
And Arcadia Queen.
Arcadia Queen. All right. Probably not launching at her, but you know.
I love this confidence. Tonight is the fill-up. And don't forget, download the RSN app.
Might take an eight-leg multi.
Online. Hear Sharky, hear Gator. Talk about the meeting of the minds. Sharky and Gator. Gareth Hall in amongst them. Jack Dickens. We've also got James Winks, who will tell us how the jockeys will be riding the track. All the latest betting info with Nick Quinn. The Spring Ticket Friday edition. It starts at 5 o'clock because it's 5:15 the first race tonight at the Valley. Then
Friday
we roll
knock
in.
Off time.
Then we roll into Gareth Hall 7 a.m. tomorrow. Then Matt Stewart, myself, Dan Malecki at 10 till 12. And then the Spring Ticket again. Myself, Gareth, Dwayne Dunn, who's been outstanding.
Yeah, he has
along
been.
With James Winks tomorrow. The Trial File boys, Caulfield. And also the big meeting in Sydney.
Going to fit races in there somewhere.
Don't forget, we'll
you
also
fit
be
the
doing
races in?
Lewis Willoughby with the tips in the country.
It's Louis!
Your number one ticket, the Spring Ticket, digital coverage each and every Saturday and tonight. Download the RSN app. Sharky, enjoy tonight. We'll see you Monday for the verdict.
Have a lovely weekend, Michael, and listeners.
Apologies to those SMSs we didn't get to. Keep sending them through. We'll get through more of them throughout the day. Up next, we'll be finding your winners at Benalla.